We're so glad that you've chosen to come back and be a part of the services tonight. We look forward to what the Lord has to do for us and through us and in us. And because we've gathered here tonight, I just sense the presence of the Lord in a special way. As Brenda was playing, and I believe God has some things He wants to do that would touch some hearts. We look forward to Brother Kenny singing and preaching. And remind you again, if those of your visitors, bathrooms are through this door and down the hall and then to the left and about halfway down the hall in the next building if there's a need. I do want to remind you, tomorrow night, Singing Towers will be here to sing. We look forward to hearing them sing for a while. Bring others with you. And also, Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, pancake breakfast. It's Mother's Day. If you don't have your own church, we invite you to come. Now, if you've got your own church and you can come and eat and then get to your church, that's fine. But don't skip your own church to come eat with us. We want you to come and have fellowship with us, but we don't want you to miss your church. But you're welcome to come and be a part of that, have a great time of fellowship, and starting at 8 o'clock. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Those of you visiting, we want you to know we're especially glad that you've chosen to be with us this week as we worship the Lord together. May we pray. Lord, the little chorus says, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. And truly, You are welcome. Welcome to speak through the music. Welcome to speak through Brother Kenny. Welcome to speak apart from them. For Lord, You're not limited, and we don't limit You. We just want to hear You. We want You to know You're welcome. We want You to know that we want to lift up Jesus and honor Him. For He truly is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I pray Your anointing, special anointing upon Brother Kenny as he sings and as he preaches. Give him the words, the scriptures, the illustrations that You want to be shared with those that have gathered here tonight. Lord, we thank You for the fellowship of brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we can gather here as believers from different churches and enjoy the camaraderie, the fellowship, the love. And Lord, we anticipate that time when we're gathered on streets of gold and we love one another for all of eternity. We rejoin with those who've gone before us, those who will come after us. We'll be able to fall down at Your feet, dear Jesus, and tell You how much we love You. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Ed, if you would, please don't go anywhere. Stay right with there if you don't mind. Don't jump down. Today is a very special day. Today is Pastor Ed's birthday. And I'll tell you now, he's about 2 years older than I am and 1 year older than the pastor down here, but we won't get into all that. The fact is, he's a wonderful man, and we love him, and we want to sing happy birthday to him. And tonight, before you leave, we're going to have some ice cream and cake. And ice cream, Jeanette, we got to have ice cream. And we'll have cake and ice cream down in the fellowship hall. So before you go that way and down the stairs, okay? You do that. Let's sing happy birthday to Pastor Ed, okay? Give me a key over there. So.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you.
Amen. Give him a big hand. are indeed loved, sir. Absolutely. Well, good evening. It's so good to see you all again. All the smiling faces, I tell you, we're keeping on, keeping up. Kenny, they did come back. You said they wouldn't. But the pastor said he was afraid you might not come back after telling he's going to sing in a little bit. So I'm looking forward to that. But, well, let's sing first. We don't do that. Let's do a hymn sing tonight together, Because He Lives, 407. All stand together and sing all three verses of Because He Lives. It's on the board, or you can turn to page 407.
Thank you.
Amen. Welcome somebody tonight. You do that. Amen. We truly have a treat for you tonight, and I haven't heard Brother Kenny. I have to admit, I haven't heard him sing in quite a few years, but I know he can do it. I know he can sing, and I'm looking forward to hearing him tonight. It reminds me of a story, though, about him and about his singing. And he sang one night to a group of people, and when it was over with, of course, everybody goes out the door and they shake hands and tell Brother Kenny how great he sang, right? And indeed he did, no doubt. But this one old gentleman came by him, and he said, and he was grunting. He said, oh, my stomach. And Brother Kenny said, well, what in the world's wrong with you? He said, well, he said, I'm just hurting my stomach. I'm having awful pain. And he said, I'm not sure if it was that food I ate or if it's the way you sang that last song. And so Brother Kenny said, well, why in the world would you think that you're having a problem with your stomach? And he said, well, if I'm having a problem with my stomach, at least it'll get better.
Thank you,
dude. Now you're going to get me back. But I want to tell you right now, this is a true man of God, and I love him dearly. You give him a big old hand as he comes up to sing. You do that.
Love him too. Thank you for the privilege of being here tonight and sharing the Word of God in song and in preaching. One of the greatest opportunities you and I have is prayer. Amen. Isn't it amazing that God said that Jesus Christ was crucified, he resurrected, went up, sat down to the right hand of the Father in heaven, ever to live to make intercession for us? Did you know you and I can go into his divine presence by ourselves without any help and anybody else and just talk to him all we want to? Amen. This first song says, I ask the Lord. Listen to the words. I ask the Lord to comfort me when things weren't going my way. He said to me, I will comfort you and lift your cares away. I ask the Lord to walk with me when darkness was all that I knew. He said to me, never be afraid, I will see you through. I didn't ask for riches, he gave me wealth untold. The moon, the stars, the sun, and the sky, God gave me eyes to behold. I thank the Lord for everything. I count my blessings each day. He came to me when I needed. I only had to pray, and he'll come to you if you ask him to. He's only a prayer away. I'm glad he's close. The more I sing, the more I need him. The next song I want to sing is a song that has to do with prayer, because when you pray, you expect God to answer. Amen? And when God answers, he moves in his power and his person and his spirit. He moves with his hands, so to speak. This song says, "One Pair of Hands." Listen to it. One pair of hands form the sea. One pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands form the valleys, the oceans, the rivers, and the sand. These hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storms, and thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, "I love you." Those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when your faith into one pair of hands. Put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands. I hope that clapping you did was for Jesus and not for me. Glorifying the Lord, not man. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, I've come tonight with a burden on my heart and the Word of God in my hand. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of hell. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't like that." I don't either, but it's God's Word. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to me to the book of Psalm, if you would, in the Old Testament, all the way back into the book of Psalm in chapter 9. Didn't you know there's a place called heaven? Amen. Did you know how wonderful it is? How glorious it is, how marvelous it is. God the Father's there, Jesus the Son is there, the Holy Spirit's there, all the saints are there, the cherubim, the seraphim, the angels of glory. All of them are there rejoicing in the Lord. What a wonderful place, heaven. Someone asked Billy Graham, "Billy, are you sure there's a heaven?" He said, "Absolutely, and I'm going." Guess what? He went. Amen. But ladies and gentlemen, there's not only a heaven, there's a hell. And the Bible says in the book of Psalm these words, listen, in chapter 9, verse 17, the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I want to read that again. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Would you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, come and speak to our hearts tonight as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, tonight to understand that out beyond the walls of this sanctuary, there are multitudes and multitudes of people who are dying tonight, unsaved, lost without Christ, condemned already, and on their way to hell forever. Father, we pray tonight that you'd stir up our souls to understand that there is a place that the wicked are going, the lost are going, the unsaved are going. That there is a place where all the nations that forget God are going. A place called hell. Break our hearts, O God, over the lost. Break our hearts over our mothers and fathers and children, grandchildren, and those who do not know Christ. And help us, Lord, to witness to them, to pray for them, to lead them to Christ, that they might be saved and not die and go to hell. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. First of all, tonight I want to give you a definition of what hell is. Ladies and gentlemen, hell is a prepared place made by God. The Bible said it's a prepared place for the devil and his angels. They're going there. They're going to spend eternity there. They're going to be there throughout all ages, suffering and burning in hell. Hell is a lake. It is a great expanse of burning. That better be God. George? It is a great lake, a great expanse of burning sulfur and brimstone. It is a place of eternal, everlasting punishment. It is a place, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It is a place of eternal, everlasting punishment. It never ends. And all of those who die and go out into eternity to spend eternity there suffer forever. Suffer forever. Suffer forever. And there is no end of their suffering. They spend eternity in a burning lake of fire. And the Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Here the wicked means those who die without Christ, who are unsaved without Him, who believe not in Him. And so therefore we know whom God is speaking about. You said, but Pastor, I thought God was a God of love. He is, amen. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, die, and go to hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. But we have a world today, ladies and gentlemen, that wants to hear the gospel and tickle their ears and tell them that they're all right. They've got good self-esteem so they can go home and rejoice in self and die and go to hell. They care little about the true gospel. They care little about the word of God. They care little about repentance. And they don't believe that they're sinners and they don't believe that God will send them to hell. But I want to tell you tonight, God will do it. The Bible tells us about God's love, but it also tells us about God's wrath. If you want to follow me tonight, open your Bible to Psalm in the book of Psalm in chapter 7, verse 11 through 13. Hear the word of God. And it says here in Psalm 11, God is a just judge. God is angry, listen, God is angry with the wicked every day. If the wicked does not turn back, that is, if he does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. Listen, he also prepares himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Do you know how many ways God has of killing us, of letting us die? God has fashioned his bow and made it ready. He has prepared for himself instruments of death that life may end. In the Word of God, when God spoke to Moses in the days of the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, I want you to hear the Word of God. He says here in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32 these words, speaking of Israel and speaking to the Gentile nations, he said, they have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God, idols in other words. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. Listen, for a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. It shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundation of the mountains. Also in verse 34 of that same chapter, hear what he said. Is this not laid up in store with me? Listen carefully. God's asking the question. Is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures? What is he asking about? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and recompense. Their foot shall slip, speaking of the wicked, their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize tonight that God has a secret treasure in heaven? And did you know that secret heaven, that secret treasure that he has in heaven is sealed up among his treasures? And that secret treasure that he has is vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. The day of their calamity, the day of their judgment is coming. Those things come and they hasten upon them. In verse 39, he said through Moses, now see that I, listen, God speaking, see that I, even I, am he. There is no God besides me. How many gods are there? Only one? Are you sure now? Well, some of the folks on television says there's four or five. And you get to heaven about 20 other ways. You know, but the Lord says he is the only God there is. See, he says that I, even I am he, and there is no God besides me. Listen, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. Now, isn't it amazing that that's not what we hear a lot of times on television? You know, on television, you get this good gospel of the good news of the modern age that says, you know, if you're Christian, you shouldn't have to suffer. You shouldn't have to lack anything. You should be rich. You should have anything you want, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You should never have to suffer. As a matter of fact, you probably shouldn't even die. I want to tell you tonight, folks, that's not the Word of God. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible said it is given us on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ to believe in him, and also it is given unto us to suffer for his name's sake. But here he says, see that I, even I am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. For I raise my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, says the Lord, if I sharpen my glittering sword and my hand takes hold of judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives from the heads of the leaders of the enemies. Wow, that don't sound like a God of love, does it? Hello? It's because of God's great love, ladies and gentlemen, that no sin can enter heaven. It's because of God's great love that he is holy, holy, holy. And it's because of God's great love that he brings judgment upon all the wicked and that nation that has forgotten God. And I don't know about you tonight, but I believe America has forgotten God. And the Bible said every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. We're on our way to hell tonight, folks. that is those who are lost and don't believe and won't receive and won't believe in Christ. You say, but Pastor, isn't that all Old Testament scriptures? And I say, amen, it is. Well, let's go to the New Testament. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Mark in chapter 9, all the way over in the book of Mark in chapter 9. And I want you to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ said about this place called hell. You see, he made it. He knew about it. He understood all there was about it. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ preached more about hell than he did heaven. Did you know that? And the reason he did that was because he did not want people to go there. He said in Mark in chapter 9 and verse 43, read this. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go into hell, having the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter to life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, where the fire shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter to the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell, fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Listen, for every one will be seasoned with fire. Everyone will be seasoned with fire. That is those who have rejected God and rejected Jesus and rejected faith and died unsaved. They shall be seasoned with fire. And it says, every sacrifice shall be seasoned with salt. Ladies and gentlemen, hell is a real place. Hell is a suffering place. Hell is an awful place. Hell is an eternal place. And Jesus gives us a warning back in the book of Matthew in chapter 10. If you'll look there with me in verse 28, I want you to hear what he said. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a solemn warning about this place called hell. Here's what he said. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Listen. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Ladies and gentlemen, we are made up of a trinity. We have a body, we have a spirit, we have a soul. And when a person dies, their soul and spirit leaves the body, and the body is buried, but that soul and spirit leaves that body and lifts up its being in paradise in the presence of the Lord with Jesus Christ, hallelujah, forever, if they're saved. Or the instant that they die unsaved, they also leave that body and they go into Hades, into the place of eternal punishment in fire, and there they suffer forever and ever because he who is given life is able to take life, and he can not only kill the body, but he can kill the soul. And the Bible said, fear him, rather, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I had a college professor, you know, who didn't believe in hell. That is, as the Bible teaches it. And he says, you know, well, hell's just a figment of man's imagination to make mean people better. Hello? Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord God Almighty who created hell did not do so to make mean people better. He created it for the wicked and the unsaved and the unrighteous. And he knows it's a place. It's not the figment of man's imagination. It's a place prepared by God. I want to tell you about a man who went there. If you look with me tonight quickly in the book of Luke in chapter 16, you'll find a man who went to hell and hear what has to be said about him. In the book of Luke in chapter 16, pick up with verse 19. And I want you to notice that Jesus Christ himself is the one who's speaking here. And Jesus said there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. Now, I believe Jesus knew both of these men. I do not believe this is a parable. I believe he knew both of these men. He knew the rich man, whom we have called Dives. He also knew Lazarus, whom he knew personally, and Lazarus knew him. But the rich man was lost, did not know God. And the Bible said there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. Listen, laid at the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And the dogs came and licked his sores. He was in bad, bad shape. He was dying, in other words. And so it was that the beggar, Lazarus, died. Notice what happened to Lazarus. He was a man of faith, believed in God, and the Bible said he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which, of course, is the same basically as paradise. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom because the angels usher in the saints into the presence of God. Because there's a great warfare going on between here and heaven, and they help the saints to get there. Amen. And so the Bible said that Lazarus died, and because of his faith, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But notice also the Bible said that the rich man, Dives, died, and he was buried. Now, the Bible says nothing at all about Lazarus being buried. They probably just took that old beggar and cast him aside the road somewhere and left him there to rot and die. But the rich man had quite a bit of money, and he could make a great funeral for himself. He probably hired mourners to come in and mourn for him when he died. And so the Bible said he had a great funeral. He was buried. He died and he was buried. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. It don't matter how much you're worth, what you have, who you are going to die. The Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. We had better get ready for it. It's coming. Amen? And so therefore, the Bible said that this rich man died. Now, he didn't want to die. He wanted to live. But he died because it's appointed to the man wants to die. And then the Bible said, watch this carefully, verse 23, and being in torments in Hades, that is another word for hell, in other words, he lifted up his eyes. He was not dead. He could see, he could hear, he could talk. And he lifted up his eyes in torments, and he saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Now, here's the rich man in hell, suffering, burning, weeping, wailing, gnashing his teeth, and he looks over into Abraham's bosom, and he could see Lazarus comforted in that place, and he began to pray. He had no time for prayer before this. He had no time to study the Word before this. He had no time for faith before this, but now he's crying out. The only problem is he's not crying out to God. He's crying out to Father Abraham. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, listen, and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this figment of man's imagination. That's not what the Bible says. It said, I am tormented in this flame. F-L-A-M-E. The word there for the Greek is pur, P-O-U-R. It means fire. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, there is an invisible fire? There is a fire that you cannot see. If you go down to the racetrack sometime and some of those guys are out there using some of that fluid and that liquid and that gasoline they use, you cannot see it, but it's there. I never will forget when I became pastor at First Baptist Church Locust years ago. In my study, there was a little gas heater sitting on the wall, and that's all I had to heat with. And when it got cold, I turned it up just as far as it'd go. And the amazing thing about it, one day I looked over, and that gas was burning and burning, and the flame was going up. And I noticed between the yellow flame and the blue flame, there was an invisible flame. I could not see it. And then I begin to realize that there is an invisible flame, and the Bible says that this man was tormented in flame. But Abraham said to him, son, remember that in your lifetime you received the good things, likewise Lazarus the evil things, but now Lazarus is comforted, hallelujah, and you are tormented. Listen, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Ladies and gentlemen, once you die and go to hell, you can't get out. The priest can't pay you out. The priest can't pray you out. You're there for eternity. There is no purgatory. There is no second chance. If you die lost, you're going to spend eternity in hell. That's the way it goes. That's what the Word of God says. And this man, Davies, has died. Now he's in torments in hell, and he wants to be comforted, but they cannot go to him. He cannot come to them. There is no help. There is no remedy. And he's there forever and ever and ever, burning in the flames of hell. And listen to me tonight, for God's sakes, listen. If you're lost without Christ and you die without Christ, you'll soon be joining him in that place. So he realized that he couldn't get any help. Now listen, church. He began to pray for his brothers. He had five brothers. Abraham's son, you remember that in your lifetime you have received the good things, the Lazarus the evil things, but now he's comforted, you're tormented. And besides all this, there is a great gulf fixed so that they who want to pass from there to here cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Now listen. And then he said, but I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him, that is Abraham, to my father's house, or send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Now he don't want his brothers to join him in hell. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to have faith. He had none. He has pity upon them. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Hey, here it is. They have the word of the living God. Let them hear the word of the living God. And if they do not hear the word and do not exercise faith, they will not be saved. And so Abraham said to him, they have Moses. They have the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, no, that's not enough. Not enough. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. If one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. No, they won't. You know how I know? He said, but he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, that is the word of God, neither would they be persuaded, though one would rise from the dead and go tell them. Ladies and gentlemen, get the picture in your mind. Every man, woman, boy, and girl in this community that's lost without Christ, who dies without Christ, is not going to heaven. I don't care what humanism says. I don't care what CNN says. God is a great judge, and God's secret treasure in heaven is vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap. If he sows to the flesh, he's going to, of the flesh, reap corruption. If he is of the Spirit, he's going to reap everlasting life. We're going to reap more than we sow. We're going to reap we're going to reap later than we sow, but we're going to reap what we sow. And this man has sown to sin and ungodliness and wretchedness and unbelief. And now he is in hell and he wants his five brothers to be saved. Listen, this community out here is full of people who are ready and prepared and condemned and on their way to hell. Is your church doing anything about it? Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. That's the preacher's responsibility. Hello? We pay him to do that. That's not what the Word of God says. The Bible says it's your responsibility. Go, therefore, into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then teach them to observe whatsoever I have taught you. It's your responsibility. Yes, it's my responsibility. Yes, it's Eddie's responsibility. The world's dying and going to hell, and we're sitting in our pews of comfort and not doing anything about it. Wake up, church! Hell is for eternity. When a person dies and say, they don't get another chance. Some of you've got relatives and they're lost. Have you ever asked them, do you know Christ is your personal Savior? I heard about a man in New York City that died. He had three children. And the daughter called her brother and she said, "Tom, can you tell me please? I heard that Dad had a heart attack and fell dead. Can you tell me, Tom, was Dad saved and ready to go?" He said, "I don't know. I never asked him." Called his other brother. She said, "Fred, can you tell me about my daddy? Was my daddy saved? Was he prepared to go to heaven? Do you know?" He said, "I don't know, sis. I just never took an opportunity to ask him." And she said, "Oh God, I didn't either." How many brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, friends and relatives do you have that's lost without Christ? And if they die, they're going to spend eternity in hell, and you never ask them if they're saved. Thankfully, that young lady picked up the telephone and she called the nearest church to her dad's house and spoke to the pastor, who had been visiting her dad in the hospital when he was sick. And she said, "Oh, Pastor Johnson, can you tell me, please, do you know whether or not my dad was saved and ready to go to heaven?" And he said, "Young lady, I've got some good news for you. 4 days ago, I went and visited your dad. We had talked before. I sat down and reasoned with him, and he bowed his head, humbled his heart, and received Christ as Savior. 4 days away from hell, he got saved." Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you something tonight. Does the church believe in hell? Do we really believe there is such a place? One man said, "Preacher, I don't understand you Christians. If I believed there was a hell, I'd get on my hands and knees and I would crawl to every house in this community and I would beg people not to go there." Heard a story about an atheist, who lived right next door to the church. Never been to church in his life. And one night the church caught on fire. And the pastor was out there throwing water. And the members was out there throwing water. And the pastor bumped somebody with his hand, his elbow. And he turned around and here's the old atheist. And he was throwing water on the church. And he said, "Well, atheist, I've never seen you at church before." He said, "Preacher, I've never seen your church on fire before." Hello. How long? David the psalmist said, "Oh God, I looked all around me. All around me. And no one cares. No one cares for my soul." Ladies and gentlemen, do we care tonight? Do we care for the souls of men and women, boys and girls who are dying without Christ, going out into eternity to spend eternity, everlasting eternity in hell? Do we care? Or are we waiting on somebody else to do the task for us? I'm going to hurry. I'll turn into the book of Revelation in chapter 20 if you want to turn there with me. Hear the word of God in Revelation chapter 20. John said, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead," this is the wicked dead, the lost dead, the undead saved, unsaved dead, "and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. Listen, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books," not the book of life, but in the books. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works," not according to eternal life, they're all lost. "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death," listen carefully, "and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Anyone not written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into Gehenna. That is the lake of fire where they spend eternity forever and ever and ever. Revelation 21:8 says this. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Have we forgotten, dear church, that there is a place called hell? Have we forgotten how horrible it is? Have we forgotten that the communities all around us are dying without salvation, dying without Christ? And I realize tonight we cannot force anyone to be saved. God did not call us, listen, God did not call us to save anybody. He called us to be witnesses. He calls us to be intercessors. He called us to go and spread the gospel. We can't save them, but we can certainly tell them about Jesus. I had one great old big tall preacher friend, Brother Millard Hill. I don't know if you ever knew him or not, brother. Brother Millard said a man came up to him one time, Brother Hill said, you can't force people to be saved. You can't make them drink. If they're thirsty, you can't make them drink. He said, no, but praise God, you give them enough salt and they'll drink. We need to salt from folks. Get them to the trough. And let them receive Christ and be saved by His grace. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God has given us a great, great responsibility. And tonight, while we're here in this service, multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people are going to die and go out there and spend eternity in hell. Jesus said, come and follow me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in, will sup with him. I will be his. He will be mine. I will save him. Now listen, if you're here tonight, you're not saved. I tell you, I would not walk out that door tonight without Jesus in my heart and know I'm going to heaven. Some years ago, and I never will forget this, First Baptist Church Locust, we had a gentleman in our church, Brother Leighton Barbie. Great big old guy. Loved that fella. He's a member of the church there at Locust. And Brother Leighton would come in on Sunday morning. He said, preacher, you're looking good this morning. I'd say, I realize that. He come in the next Sunday and I said, Leighton, you're looking good this morning. He said, oh, ain't I though? And we kid each other, loved each other, prayed for each other. And one Sunday after service, he came in. We were kidding each other, hugging one another, loving one another, praying for one another. And I went home after service, and at 1 o'clock, my telephone rang. And his son was on the other line. He said, oh, pastor, can you come to daddy's house? I said, what's the matter, Billy? He said, daddy's gone. I said, well, where's he gone? He said, you don't understand, pastor. Daddy's dead. He got up from the dinner table, went over to the refrigerator, opened the refrigerator, reached in to get a glass of tea, and fell dead right on the floor. Thank God he went home to be with Jesus. Amen. But he could have been in hell. Listen, if you're here tonight without Christ, I want to invite you to come and give your heart to Jesus. Don't be caught dead without Christ. The Bible said if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and are willing to repent of your sins and call upon the name of the Lord, he will save you. And you can go to heaven and not hell. But I promise you tonight upon the authority of this word, if you die unsaved, you're not going to heaven. God is not all inclusive. You know that, don't you? The world said, oh, you got to be inclusive. Oh, no, you don't. God's not all inclusive. And when they get before the great white throne judgment and they hear him say, sorry, I never, never knew you, then they're going to understand he's not all inclusive. But if you're here tonight without Christ, I want you to go to heaven. You're going to have to spend heaven with me and Brother Eddie and a lot of these other folks here. By the way, go ahead and get ready.
Might as well go ahead and love us now, because go ahead and love us there. Amen? Amen. I love you folks. I wouldn't preach like this to you. I don't want you to die without Christ. If you're here tonight without Him, would you come give your heart to Jesus? Dives is still burning in hell. Pilate is burning in hell. I hear him now. Oh, out, 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 blood, out, out. I hear Judas Iscariot screaming in hell, 30 pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver. Who you know tonight is in hell. God, have mercy on them. Father, in this invitation, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move. Oh God, if there's a man, woman, boy, and girl here tonight that's lost, help them to realize that there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun, and to die without Jesus is to spend eternity, everlasting eternity, in a place of eternal punishment called hell. Oh God, your will be done, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Would you stand with us? And as we sing tonight, if you're without Christ, would you come? Christian, I want to give you this invitation. If you're here tonight and you know some people out there that's lost, I want to invite you to come to this altar and make God a promise that you'll pray for them and witness to them while it's now. Got time.
We'll sing 317 in your books, or you can watch it on the wall as well. His words will be there. Only trust Him, 317.
Every soul by sin oppressed, there
he hated friendship, but for some reason he wanted to tolerate me. So over, I tried to witness to him some. Never did find out whether he accepted the Lord or not. There's another relative of another persuasion that gave the priest up in Massachusetts or somewhere so many thousands of dollars to say some novenas to get him out of hell.
Oh my.
The folk is not on it.
That's right.
It's not in the Lord.
That is right. Amen.
He died without Jesus. I tried to witness to him. And then we get him to say, I accept Jesus. He and his wife both may be in hell right now.
Oh.
I'll say it. And they give that priest all the money in the world. And that priest gave them a bit of good. Jesus is the only one.
That's right. Jesus. Right. Amen.
Jesus is the only one.
Yes.
Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you, Brother Kenny, for singing and for preaching for us, blessing us. I didn't know about this ice cream deal, but I love all of you. And visitors will come and fellowship with us together. Brother Lyons, we have an invitation.
Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wake up call, Father. Thank you for the word being spoken tonight, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for your servant, Candy, Father.
Yes, God. Yes.
Thank you not just for tonight, Lord, but all the hearts, the lives, and his touch, Father. That might stop there, Father.
Crazy.
God, you're going to ask us one day when we get there. What you do with my son, did you accept him? What did you do with all his gifts that I gave you? Did you share them or did you use them for yourself? Well, Father, the toughest question would be, who did you bring with you? And did you share the good news with you? Well, it's our prayer. We just stay far to share the good news. Father, hell's real. We've all been warned, Father. Made a great promise. And Father, as we pray tonight, we make promises to you. Share the good news that we do that. Thank you, Father, for your love, forgiveness for your Son Jesus. For it's his name, your Father. We humble ourselves and pray in that name.
Thank you all for coming, but come and join us for ice cream and cake if you can. Just down the door right there.